views and commentaries are for entertainment only. The views and opinions expressed therein are those of the individual speakers and callers and do not necessarily represent the views of KFAR Radio or any of our respective employees, affiliates, or sponsors of this program.
Good morning, Fairbanks. You are listening to KFAR Radio. We're at 660 on the AM dial, 97.5 on the FM dial, and we live stream at KFARradio.com. This is Problem Corner. I'm your host, David Pruse. My format for today anyway, is the last political day of the year. If you have a question or a comment for my guest, we're at 907-458-TALK. That's 907-458-8255. And with that, Senator Click Bishop, how you doing? You're the last one on my list on political.
Thank you. Good morning. And thanks for the invitation. It's a pleasure to be here. And I'll be glad when we come back and talk more mining.
Well, I bet you you're going to be glad in one day, 8 hours and 50 minutes, too, when the polls close and it's in the can, so to speak.
Yeah, we'll see. We hope so. That's what we've worked towards. We've worked hard all summer. We hit the ground running, and we ran the campaign like it was an old school. It would be won in the primary, right?
Yeah.
Ranked choice voting. So we did that, and really we haven't backed off any at all. We did take a little downtime in September. You know, I like to use the old boxing analogy. You can overtrain and leave your fight in the gym too.
Well, let's look at your Senate seat, R. Mm-hmm. It's the size of probably Montana and Wyoming put together.
Yeah, it is bigger than Montana.
Yeah.
It's bigger than California, and if it was a state, it'd be the third largest state in the union. And it is officially the largest Senate district in the United States.
Wow.
So it's big.
Now, you walked in here, and this is what I've noticed about most of the candidates, if not all. When they get to me this time of year, they're beat dead tired with a 1,000-yard stare. But not you miners. You know, the only thing is you'd probably rather be mining this summer than doing this, and I can't blame you for that.
Yeah, it's, I think I've said this on your show before, you know, if you're not the internal optimist, you're not going to make it in the world of mining or oil and gas exploration, right?
Because, or politics.
Or politics. it was interesting. On one of our downriver trips this summer, we were in New Lotto, and there was a... they have a softball tournament in the summer, and there's five villages that are there. And what a great way to capture five villages at once.
Wow, yeah.
So it's a three-day tournament. And as we're speaking with folks and visiting around, I had an elder walk up to me, and she says, "You're the first politician I've seen here since Mike Gravel and Nick Begich." And I'm looking at you.
That's 72.
Yeah, yeah. So
yeah, Gravel was a two-term U.S. senator.
Yeah,
and he lost to Murkowski in 80, I believe.
Yeah. So now wow. I'm sure somebody else has been there. There's no doubt about it, but she just hadn't seen it. But I just that was an aha moment for me, you know. And so interesting getting reacquainted with people, you know, because that would be a new district, the Senate District C. It actually ended about 45 miles below Tanana, but so now this is all the Dorion land region.
Yeah,
yeah. So it's a huge district. So no, we're sticking to our game plan, and tomorrow night, after the cards are all felt, dealt, and smelt, we'll see who comes out on top.
Hmm. We're all looking forward to tomorrow night when all the cards are smelt, dealt, and
felt.
Yeah, felt. It. Boy, it's been a long haul when you have a U.S. Senate, governor, U.S. House, plus 59 out of the 60 seated legislative state races,
plus a special election for Congress. So we've had an interesting summer
in under a new election format. Mm-hmm. So how many? What is there? Is there three or four people, or just two in your race?
There's three.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So I never met the threshold for having a primary with kicking someone off the island.
Right.
So go out and win the primary, and probably the same statistical inferences that'll come into the general.
Well, that's what people say, but, you know, I don't take anything for granted. I never assume anything, because mm-hmm. the minute you assume something, the opposite happens. So shame on you, you know, if you assume something and take it to the bank, because that's just not how it works.
You were first elected in what, 2010?
12.
12?
Right. I had served two terms as Commissioner of Labor, appointed by Palin, reappointed by Governor Parnell, and then I was almost 5.5 years under Parnell, and if as a commissioner's job, man, if you're working it, you know, as you're gonna find out, mm-hmm. Mr. Mayor, you're never off.
No, you're not.
You're always on.
Yeah,
and. You know, under the Parnell administration and the Palin administration, because I was part of the state's emergency response team, you know, we had a go bag, we had a sat phone, and you were never off. And so,
yeah,
5.5 years.
They give me two phones now.
Yeah, you got two phones. I see you looking at both your phones. So you're never off. And I decided to retire, and there were, at that time, five or six sitting senators that had went in and talked to the governor about me running for the Senate. So I thought about it, and the rest is history. So, yeah, we took a run at it, and we're successful.
Well, we can talk about that all we want, but let's get to more important items. Mm-hmm. You became an operator working for Green Construction on the pipeline?
Yep.
Now, we have to come back for some stories on that. That was the most unique time frame where a person could be really coming into their own like you did.
Mm-hmm. Sure. It's true. Jim Sampson used to introduce me when I would speak in front of any group that, you know, AFL-CIO, and him being a former commissioner, former borough mayor. He says, I'm introducing
labor leader.
Leader. He says, I'm introducing Commissioner Bishop, and he has broke every child labor law known to man. So
exactly. Hold it. No, I disagree, because when you work for your parents, there are no child labor laws. Now, technically, you might not have been working for your dad, but he was running Green Construction.
Right. So, For full disclosure, I graduated in Lathrop midterm 74 and went to work on the pipeline as a service oiler, and I wasn't 18. I told them I was, but I wasn't.
Fairbanks, we're going to take a commercial break. You're listening to KFAR Radio. If you have a question for Senator Click Bishop, we're at 907-458-TALK. That's 907-458-8255. We'll be back after these messages.
More Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Paid for by Dunleavy for Governor.
History has a way of catching up. When Sean Parnell was governor, he was getting Alaska's economic train back on the tracks and headed in the right direction. Parnell was a good man and a good governor. Then Bill Walker viciously attacked Parnell, commandeered the train, and proceeded to run it off the tracks. Walker was a train wreck of a governor. Now, Walker's back and using the exact same nasty tactics against Governor Mike Dunleavy. But Alaskans have a memory, and while Walker's attacks on the governor get wilder by the day, nobody wants Walker anywhere near the train. Governor Dunleavy has the state moving in the right direction. Crime is down. The economy is looking up. Alaska is again a state where personal freedom and personal responsibility go hand in hand. Let's keep the train on the tracks. On November 8th, vote Mike Dunleavy.
Let's create some pizzas. First one, large with marinara, Italian sausage, pepperoni, black olives, and a little bit of feta. I call it the Kenny. Now, a large, white sauce, chicken, mushrooms, jalapenos, spinach, and fresh garlic. We'll call it the Teresa. Ooh, how about this one? Marinara sauce, prosciutto, salami, green peppers, and red onions? That's a Mikey. How about a double pepperoni? Now everyone's happy. Giraldo's, where everybody's pizza dreams come true.
Trust is a precious commodity. A septic tank, for instance, me, knows this. My family knows this. I taught them this. Now they trust Bigfoot Pumping and Thawing to pump me out. I need but one thing, and I have my limits. Winter's coming, holidays, company. Don't want me messing up your entertainment plans? Trust me, Bigfoot Pumping and Thawing just once a year is your best choice.
Weather is being brought to you by Frontier Outfitters, your store for the outdoor. Your next outdoor adventure begins at Frontier Outfitters for your Alaskan lifestyle.
KFAR weather.
Cloudy skies today with daytime highs approaching 14. Winds out of the east, 8 to 15 miles per hour. Cloudy skies expected tonight. Chance of snow, lows level off around 12. Chance of snow tomorrow, high temperatures reach up to 23. Overcast skies. And that's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
Fairbanks, welcome back. I have Senator Click Bishop in the studio with me. You've had a long and winding road.
Yep. I think that was a song.
By
the Beatles.
Yep. And we're all happy it's going to be over. Not because of you per se, but we're just all the, if you're on a computer, you got the pop-ups coming at you. If you're on the radio, you get the commercials. If you're driving down the street, you have all the signs. And I was a participant in that deluge. Mm-hmm. So what the heck?
So, yeah, I think, I don't know, it appears to be this year, it seems to be more prevalent this year. People are tuned out. They're checked out. They're done. They know who they're voting for. There's very few undecided voters out there. I know people have expressed to me personally and through email that they're done with negative campaigns. They are done. So, yeah. And I get it. I mean, I've never subscribed to that type of campaigning. And my grandmother always said, if you can't say whatever you say in the darkness, you better be able to say in the light of day.
You're correct. And this inordinate amount of money has flowed in. And on Friday, you know, open callers in regards to Tuesday's election, and my question was, is there a race you have not decided your vote yet? And if you have not decided your vote, call in. And no one called in. Ready for a call in?
Sure.
Good morning. You're on KFAR Radio with Senator Click Bishop, and your name is?
Pleasant Valley.
Pleasant Valley. Okay.
Yeah. Mr. Bishop, since you've been my senator, I haven't in several years, but I have included you and written to you via email and included you in, I don't know, dozens of emails. And this goes actually back to when you were still boss guy at 302, but I wasn't including you until you were my senator in some of this stuff. I have called you. One, I've gone by your office dozens of times, and only once have I ever gotten a response from you, and only one, I mean, I've never gotten a response from you in any of the emails that were showing you were Some of them were chain emails. Some of them were to you to tell you what was being done. The state, this has been going
Do you have a question for the senator?
Yes. Only once. Why are you so inaccessible? One time, and I think it might have been when they were holding the hearing at the legislative office. It might have been that, or it might have been one other time I ever got hold of any of your staff. Never heard a word from you. You never responded to any of these emails showing where Alaska was breaking its law in child support. And it's clear. It's been going on for 22 years.
Okay, I'm gonna let him answer the phone. I'm gonna let him answer the question. Okay. Okay. Well, yep. Thank you for the phone call. I'm gonna let him respond.
I'd like to know your name.
Well, she didn't give that. She said Pleasant Valley, and she's called in here before, so you've provided access to her before on the air, and this person has had the same issue.
Yeah.
And It's nothing, anyway, just one of those things.
Well, you know, just in defense, I don't know your name, so I can't go back through, and I can go back through legislative records because all emails are archived on the state's database, and they're backed up. So you give me your name, you want to call back in or give me a call and give me your name, we'll go back through the database and research it and show you where you've called and where we've responded. But I'll just say in defense of that, I just got several letters from the Kenny Lake and the Copper Center area thanking me for all the years of service and for responding back to their emails.
Phone line here might be her.
Yeah.
Good morning. You're on KFAR Radio, and your name is?
It's Bull.
Hello, Bull.
Hey, I just had a question for Mr. Bishop. I haven't been following all this time. Just don't pay a lot of attention, but it's getting close to election day here. Mr. Bishop, on the PFD, do you believe they should follow the statute and give us a full PFD every year?
Absolutely, if we can afford it.
Now, what's with the caveat?
The caveat is deficit spending. Where are we going to get, you know, I'm not going to tax a lot. I want to pay you the biggest dividend I can pay you, but I'm not going to institute a $500 to $800 million tax to recover the funds to run the government. We get
I would counter that the government's simply spending too much money.
Well, we had the Governor Dunleavy was running for governor and tried to cut $1.1 billion out of the budget, and he couldn't do it. It wasn't workable. And he realized that. And, you know, I've got at the chamber last week, I produced two working group studies from 2020 and 2021, and two different working group studies. Both of the studies came to the same conclusion, to pay a 50-50 dividend. And that's where the governor has moved to, from a full statutory dividend to a 50-50 dividend. Both of these reports say that we're going to have to tax Alaskans new revenue, that's code for taxes, somewhere between $400 and $800 million. So
now,
I voted no on an income tax already, and I'm not going to vote.
If you have 700,000 people in the state of Alaska and say you get half of that from income tax, you're basically looking at about a $12,000 person tax.
Well, you've only got 227,000 wage earners in the state, so
yeah. It gets cut down real fast.
That's if you split it evenly amongst all the people. If you do it on a percentage basis, your people making two.
Bull, I guess my question for you is, do you believe that the state constitution has guaranteed you a dividend every year?
What I believe is the state does not allow me mineral rights on my property, and that payment is to cover the fact that I have no mineral rights under my feet.
Hmm.
The state already gets, what, 90-95% of the money off the oil?
25% of royalties and taxes and rentals go to the permanent fund. So I'm not arguing with you, but you are right on the mineral rights, but that doesn't mean that you can't go out and put four corners in the ground and go out and lease that and make a discovery and then go into production and mine that that very same ground.
I get to lease my own land.
Bull, I'm going to take another, sir, I'm going to take another phone call. Good talking to you. You have a great day. Good morning. You're on KFAR Radio with Senator Clint Bishop, and your name is?
Hey, this is Greg.
Hello, Greg.
Hey, how's it going? I wasn't going to call in, but then when he answered Bull's question, I decided, well, I'm going to need to, because the reason our governor couldn't cut the budget like he wanted to is because he didn't have support from people like you, Click. You have supported a bloated state budget since you've been in there. And when you say, well, we want to pay the biggest dividend we can, but we can't, you know, go into deficit spending, we can cut the budget. It can be done. But you were up there with the crowd at the university with tears in your eyes talking about how our governor was trying to cut their money when we know where the money is going in the state. It's time to cut the budget.
Where's the money going?
Well, a lot of it was going to the university.
Where's the other? He cut $1.1 billion. He cut the university $75 billion. Where's the other billion going?
Well, I think he had a lot of it come out of healthcare, I believe. Like, what was the?
No.
Was Medicaid? Is that it?
No, that was actually a budget increase because of Governor Walker and what he did in, I think it was 2015 when he increased it, and it cost us about $300 million a year, plus or minus.
But then didn't Dunleavy try to cut that?
No, he probably tried to cut other sections of it, but once Governor Walker put us in that program, we couldn't get out of it.
Okay.
So, well, you know, just on your point where you cut the budget, I've had, you know, friends of mine that I work with, other senators, and they said, well, you need to cut the budget. I said, okay, go find me $40 million in your district where you want to cut to make up this $400 million. I haven't had anybody bring me a $40 million cut.
Our state government is working at peak efficiency, and there's just no fat to be trimmed. We just can't afford anymore.
Oh, there's always room for efficiencies. You know, I was cutting $10 million a year out of DOT's SEF state equipment fleet budget. They used to come into the Senate Finance Committee, and you can go back on the record and look at it, and there's one sentence in the capital budget that says, we need $25 million to buy new equipment. I said, okay. So bring me your replacement sheet that shows me what you need to spend $25 million for on new equipment. And I trimmed $15 million off of that SEF request in the first year and did so subsequent years as well. So
we got to get going. Greg, got to get going. Okay. We are coming into a commercial break. Fairbanks, we're going to leave you a little bit of bumper music, some Fox News, state news, some commercials, and some weather. And we'll try and get through the commercials together.
Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
The latest Fox News power rankings gives Republicans a strong chance of taking back the House of Representatives.
The forecast expects Republicans to gain 23 seats for a 19-seat majority. 26 races are currently rated as a toss-up by Fox News, with Republicans gaining ground in blue states like New York, California, and even Connecticut. Races in Kansas and Alaska are trending in the Democratic candidate's favor.
Fox's Ryan Schmelz in Washington. Tesla and Twitter CEO Elon Musk is endorsing Republican congressional candidates one day before the midterm elections.
In a tweet to his nearly 115 million followers, Musk says shared power curbs the worst excesses of both parties and therefore is recommending voting for a Republican Congress, given that the presidency is Democratic.
Fox's Jared Halpern. America's listening to Fox News.
It's time for your Alaska News Minute.
Alaska's news source reports that Alaska's fifth governor to preside over the state, Bill Sheffield, died last Friday at his home in Anchorage, according to John Pugh, a close friend of the family. Sheffield was 94 years old. Sheffield, a Democrat, served as governor from 1982 to 1986, when Alaska's economy was booming from the explosion of oil field development on the North Slope. Sheffield lost the 1986 gubernatorial election to Steve Cooper as the state's economy was crashing from plunging oil prices and a housing development bust. During his time as governor, Sheffield helped the Alaska Permanent Fund grow by about $700 million during his time and was a big proponent of the Alaska Railroad. He was appointed as chairman of the board of directors for the Alaska Railroad in April of 1995 and became CEO and president in 1997 until leaving in 2001. Sheffield also helped to bring in millions of dollars in federal funding with the late Senator Ted Stevens of Alaska. And for over a decade, he was the director of the Port of Anchorage and was credited with bringing in another influx of federal dollars to help
expand it. Online at KFAR660.com.
At Batteries Plus, they do more than fix phones and tablets. They help our neighbors power their lives. Visit Batteries Plus in-store, curbside, and online at batteriesplus.com.
Hello, my name is Nisha Steinkruger. Did you know the Alaska Judicial Council has unanimously recommended a yes vote for retaining the judges on your November 8th ballot? Alaskans seeking justice and fair solutions to difficult situations greatly benefit from our impartial, fair, and nonpartisan judiciary. Judicial impartiality is one of Alaska's greatest strengths. Our judges follow the law, not any political or personal belief agenda. The merit-based system of appointing and retaining judges ensures accountability and integrity in the Alaska judicial system. On November 8th, vote yes to retain the judges on your ballot.
This message has been paid for by Alaskans for Fair Courts, 1120 Huffman Road, Suite 24603, Anchorage, Alaska, 99515. Donna Goldsmith, co-chair, approved this message. Top three contributors, James Torgerson, ASEA, AFSCME, Local 52, and Donna Goldsmith, all of Anchorage. This notice to voters is required by Alaska law. We certify that this communication is not authorized, paid for, or approved by any candidates.
During Mary Peltola's first month in Congress, she followed in the path of the congressman for all Alaska, Don Young. Working with Republicans and Democrats, she already pushed through legislation to help veterans with food and grocery bills. An effective bipartisan leader, Congresswoman Mary Peltola kept Don Young's chief of staff as her own as she continues his work developing our natural resources, creating jobs, lowering prices, and supporting veterans. And Congresswoman Peltola joined Senators Dan Sullivan and Lisa Murkowski to push the federal government to allow construction on the Willow Project this winter. Mary Peltola is building on Don Young's work on Magnuson-Stevens critical fisheries legislation that they worked on together before he passed away. At his request, Mary testified as an expert witness in Don Young's committee on this bill. Now she is championing it as Alaska's member of Congress. Fish, freedom, family. That's Mary Peltola, a new leader for all of Alaska.
I'm Mary Peltola. I'm running for Congress, and I approve this message.
Paid for and authorized by Mary Peltola for Congress.
In this election, lower 48 outsiders are going to try to grab Alaska's Senate seat.
Lisa Murkowski's right. Lower 48 outsiders want Lisa reelected, so she'll do whatever the D.C. establishment tells her. It's why Mitch McConnell is spending millions of dark money spreading lies about Kelly Chewbacca. After 21 years in the Senate, Lisa Murkowski changed. She used to represent Alaska, but now she's controlled by Joe Biden and D.C. political insiders like Mitch McConnell. That's why Murkowski voted to kill Alaska energy jobs and confiscate our guns. Lisa Murkowski isn't working for Alaska anymore. She is working for the D.C. establishment, her Democrat allies, and the dark money groups funding her campaign. Why is Mitch McConnell so scared of Kelly Chewbacca? Because Kelly Chewbacca won't be bought or bullied by Washington. Chewbacca will always fight for Alaska, and that will never change.
I'm Kelly Chewbacca, candidate for Senate, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Kelly for Alaska.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Fairbanks, welcome back. David Pruse in the studio here with Click Bishop. And you are co-chair of the Senate Finance, and you are the person who ran the capital budget.
Correct.
And you finally had a real capital budget this last year.
We did, you know, first one we've had in a long time other than the general fund match with just a little bit of extra for deferred maintenance. But this year, you know, the capital budget was $3.6 billion, and 1.13 of that was general funds, UGF, right? And that's the balance was federal funds and receipt authority from other departments. But that was over two fiscal years. You had a supplemental 22 capital budget that the governor introduced, and the 23 budget, and so when you co-mingle all those funds into the one bill that we did, it was a $3.66 billion capital budget, and some of that is in response to the Infrastructure Investment Jobs Act funding that passed, you know, highways and aviation. And, you know, we're looking at over $1 billion a year coming for highways and aviation for the next 5 years. So with the workforce being where it is today, I've been saying that it could be 5 to 7 years before all that money goes through the system, because you're only going to build this stuff as fast as you've got employees to build it.
It gets that way, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Ready for a phone call?
Sure.
Good morning. You're on KFAR Radio with Senator Clint Bishop, and your name is?
June.
Hello, June.
Hi, my question is, I have two questions, actually. But my first question is, I mean, weren't you censured by the Alaska Republican Party? And what are your comments on that?
I was censured by District 36, excuse me. The party's taking a run at me every election except for the last one. It doesn't bother me.
Well, okay, so the answer is it doesn't bother him. And your second question?
My second question is you voted against legislation several times on legislation that would have protected Alaskans from a COVID vaccine mandate. Why did you do that?
So you want to talk about the specific amendment I voted against? You want to tell the listeners just exactly what amendment I voted against?
I believe you voted against an amendment and a Senate bill as well.
You believe, but you
I don't remember the specifics. I'm asking you what you voted against and why.
Well, I want to be clear so I can, when I respond, that we give an accurate description of what amendment I voted against. Now, what I think you're talking about is, was it Laura Reinbold's bill? Senator Laura Reinbold? Was that the specific Senate bill you're referencing?
I don't recall at this time. I just remember that you were one of the ones that voted against protecting us from a mandate.
Yeah, so what that amendment was, it told employers that they could not enforce their safety and health plans. Meaning that would be like me telling pick a contractor that they can't enforce
gym company
they can't enforce a drug and alcohol policy. And I'm not going to be somebody that tells an employer what they can or can't do with their safety and health plan, notwithstanding how I feel personally about vaccines or COVID mandates. But I'm not going to tell business how to run their safety and health plans.
Okay, but there was a state bill as well, or Senate bill as well, that I think prevented the state of Alaska from requiring proof of COVID-19 vaccination or a passport that you voted against.
I can't remember. Without the specific bill in front of me and going back and doing the research, that's the only amendment I voted for, was on Laura Reinbold's bill.
Okay.
I got another phone call. Thank you for the phone call. You have a good day. Good morning. You're on KFAR Radio with Senator Clint Bishop, and your name is?
No, good morning. This is Mark in care of the Alaska Freedom Council, Dave. Clint, out with me at the GOP luncheon on Friday. Like I said, you're not aggressive enough with regard to the interest of Alaska's people that we have a common denominator and ownership interest in, and that's the lawful statue as it exists. And also, what about the passport efforts under this health farce, where we got no assistance from Juneau other than to get everybody their hypodermic shots of this concoction of adder juice, which people are going to start realizing what's making
Mark, you're making statements. Do you have a question? I guess not. Any thoughts on that, Senator?
I have no clue what he's adder juice or what he's talking about.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, it's interesting. The governor had a very good response, in my opinion, to what happened with COVID. If you look at Alaska, we shut down, but the thought was we all, you know, sit in place and let it pass, and after 2-3 weeks it didn't burn out, and then he started opening it back up. Other areas of the state of Alaska, such as the municipality of Anchorage, they kept a lot of things closed. They had that power. The city of Fairbanks, I was on the city council, we could have done that. We weren't going to do that. Mm-hmm. So, you know, there's not one thought that fits all when it comes to a pandemic that no one has seen since 1920 in Alaska.
Yeah, it's, you know, we didn't know what we didn't know.
Yeah.
Right? And people, you know, we're a young state, right? And the pandemic of the 1918-1919 Spanish flu, and you and Joni Skilbred have had some good conversations on that.
Yes, right, we have, yeah.
Right here in this room. It is not ancient history in people's minds. And I don't care if you get a shot or you don't get a shot. That's your opinion on the vaccines. The only thing I say is I just want to thank President Trump for warp speed of getting those vaccines out there to get as many people vaccinated that want to get the vaccination, yeah, to get the country open back up. If you don't want to get a shot, that's your business.
Yeah,
that's up to you.
I did not want to get a shot, not because I just don't like shots, but I went and got my shots. My brother Dana got his shots, so I said, okay, I got to suck it up. I went and got my two shots, my two boosters. I did not cry, but I called up Jeff Cook and said, hey, when Dr. Ebar gave me my shot and I did not cry, he gave me a sucker. I did not get a sucker here. Where's my sucker?
Well, what people think about vaccines, that's their own business. Yeah. But I'll tell you one vaccine you should get, because I've had it and you don't want it, is shingles.
Yeah.
And I was a long hauler on shingles, and that's the worst pain I've ever had in my life.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. A person's health is a person's health, and you can't mandate or dictate what a person's going to do on their health on, you know, putting a shot in their body, period. Simple as that.
Right.
Ready for a phone call?
Sure.
Good morning. You're on KFAR Radio, and your name is?
Hi, Kelly Nash. How are you guys doing?
Good, Kelly.
Hold on. Okay. Speaker, there we go. So, because you guys are talking about the vaccination, I'm calling. Oh, let me turn that off. Okay. So, there was, and there still are, people that are trying to get by without having to have, they're still mandating it some places. And even here in the interior, there was many people that, A, worked at the hospital, I mean, Fred Meyers, I mean, so many different places where they didn't realize that they could say no, and they got it. And, you know, there's been a lot of deaths from it. And I think that's something that people need to start looking into, is the actual facts of what has happened with the COVID-19 vaccination. And there was a medical freedom bill that was put out.
Kelly, do you have a question for Senator Bishop?
No, I said I had a statement.
Well,
but I want to know why he voted against.
There's a question. Okay.
Do you have a question?
Okay, go ahead.
He voted against the medical freedom bill.
I'm not familiar with the medical freedom bill. You got a bill number?
I believe it's SB. No, that's the. I think he voted against keeping boys out of girls' locker rooms, too. There's SB 140. There's SB 176. I can't remember. There's so many, but you can look it up later.
Yeah, I answered that question about two callers ago.
Oh, I wasn't listening then.
Okay.
Yeah.
So what was your answer?
My answer was that had to do with businesses dictating to businesses what they can and can't do with their workforce, with their safety and health plans. And I won't be big government is not going to be right. I won't be supporting big government telling what a gem company can do with their safety and health plan.
Kelly, you ready for tomorrow?
Oh my God, I'm so ready. and then we only have like 80 some hours and so many minutes till we actually have the results.
So. Well, welcome to ranked choice voting. We're not done until we're done.
Oh my God, the day after my birthday, we'll know.
You have a great day. Talk to you later. Bye. Bye. And Fairbanks, we're going to take a commercial break. You're listening to KFAR Radio. We're at 458 Talk, 458-8255. We'll be back after these messages.
More Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Hi, I'm Sarah, and I'm part of a typical Alaska family. We fish on the Kasilaf, hunt off the Denali Highway, and work here in Anchorage. It's why I'm glad Mary Peltola is representing us in Congress. Just like Don Young, Mary's been a representative for all of Alaska, working with both parties to create jobs and develop our natural resources, like the Willow Project. And she's continuing Don's work on the Magnuson-Stevens Fisheries Bill. Don even brought Mary to D.C. as an expert witness on Alaska's fisheries. Mary's a lifelong Alaskan who hunts and fishes, she's a gun owner, and believes in personal privacy, especially with reproductive health care. She thinks that's none of the government's business. Please vote Mary Peltola for Congress. She's pro-fish, pro-family, pro-jobs, and pro-choice.
Paid for by Vote Alaska Before Party. VoteAlaskaBeforeParty.com. Not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee. Vote Alaska Before Party is responsible for the content of this advertising.
Affordable Used Cars is the only true one-stop shopping experience in Fairbanks. Affordable Used Cars has the largest inventory of pre-owned vehicles in the state. All makes and all models. That's right. Affordable has them all. Chevy, GMC, BMW, Kia, Ford, and more. The list goes on. No need to drive around all day or spend hours on the internet. Come by today for a test drive and be amazed at the selection and the affordable prices. Affordable Used Cars, located on South Cushman.
When a senior living facility in downtown Fairbanks needed energy-efficient windows and automated doors for easy handicapped access, they knew where to turn for help. Bart Lebon listened to their concerns and delivered for our seniors.
This is Representative Bart Lebon. As a member of the House Finance Committee, I've always made our seniors a top priority. With my vote, funding for the required building upgrades was included in the approved capital budget. I would appreciate your vote on November 8th.
This ad paid for by Bart Lebon for State House.
Weather this hour brought to you by Long Building Technologies. Call Long today to find out about a UV filtration and ionization system that will help reduce sick days in your workplace. 561-3044 or find out more at long.com.
KFAR Weather.
High temperatures reach up to 14 this afternoon. Under overcast skies, east winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. Chance for snow tonight, lows level off around 12. Cloudy tomorrow, chance for snow, highs around 23. 23 Wednesday with a chance for snow. 26 Thursday, snow continues. And that's your weather on KFAR, 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Laura Lockwood.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Fairbanks, welcome back. We've got 9 more minutes before I'm done with election aspects. Tomorrow I got the Laundry House Gang in here. So we're going to take another phone call. You ready, sir?
Fire away.
Good morning. You're on KFAR Radio with Senator Clint Bishop, and your name is?
Hey, it's Charles. I want to know about the Tap Chocolate agricultural area and the bridge access there. What future you see with that? And can you explain a little more about that? I'll listen on.
Thank you, Charles.
Thanks, Charles. That Tochacket road money was that was a redistribution of funds out of the South Central. DOT didn't need that money at that point in time on that road project because it's still some years down the road. So the governor redirected that money to the Tochacket for the access into the ag parcels that he's wanting to develop over there. So that's how the history on the funding. As far as the access, there was, you know, you probably read the same thing that I've read in the emails that I had got from, received last week from the tribe. Subsequently, they did have a little bit of a, I'm not going to call it a protest, a little bit of a
hoop-de-doo.
Hoop-de-doo down there in Nenana, but that's local politics between the tribe and DOT. And subsequently, that has been resolved, is my understanding.
And you know, no one got hurt. No one got destroyed. Everyone did it right.
Yeah, they sat down and talked about it.
Yeah.
And so
we have an issue.
Yep. So anyway, I mean, the governor's very concerned about food security. Go back to COVID and the pandemic and some of the meetings we had with the governor and leadership at that time. You know, we didn't know if the port of Tacoma was going to be open. Nobody knew. And we've only got a 7-day supply of food here in this state, and other governors have recognized that as well. And food security is a huge issue here.
Yeah, yeah. You know, it's interesting how one caller brought up that you were censured by District 36, and you know, when that happened, I looked at that, and my previous background with the Alaska Republican Party, we censured a few people. Some were for coalescing with the Democrats. We censured U.S. Senator Lisa Murkowski, and I voted in favor of it, for voting to impeach Trump. I did not think that was correct. But then I leave being the representative of the Republican Party of the Interior, and for whatever reason, you got a group of people in district out of Nenana that are somewhat mad at you. And a gentleman writes a letter of censure on you. And I looked at that. I couldn't make heads or tails of what you ever did wrong or what you might have done wrong. It was the English prose on it wasn't that good. But he didn't go through the correct process of even getting the right people in the room to vote, and they did it. So, okay. And then that person immediately resigned as a chairman and is now running against you.
That's correct.
That whole process, yeah. And I just looked at that and I just thought, oh boy, that's not a correct way to do things in Alaska.
Well, you know, it's you know, God bless him. That's what he thought he needed to do, and that's what he did. But I'd just like to say also that there was one of those board members that abstained from that vote and quit the leadership in that District 36. So
yeah.
You know, I put it this way. You know, people ask me, Click, why do you still want to be a Republican? They have whacked you from daylight to dark over the years. And I said, well, you know, it's kind of like church. You know, who hasn't been in a church that, you know, somebody's cornflakes are soggy and I'm leaving. I don't like it here. And, I'm going over across the street to this church. But what they don't know is there are two couples that have left that church they're going to for the same reasons that they're leaving this church.
Yeah.
And short of, you know, and the, you know, the other thing is where in the, you know, what happened to following Ronald Reagan's 11th commandment?
Thou shalt not speak bad about a fellow Republican.
Yeah. So, I don't know. I thought you wanted to grow the party. George Bush always wanted a big tent, and
I use that term a lot. We have a big tent.
Yeah, but you know, there's some that want to make the tent smaller, and hey, that's their right. So, you know, that's all I can say about it. I've been a registered R since I was 18, and so we'll just keep marching forward.
Good for you.
Yep.
Good for you. I anticipate you winning. Are you still looking at being on finance and co-chairing finance?
Well, that would be my goal, is to serve one more term as co-chair of finance. You know, if you're ever in the state capitol, you should go to the finance room, and there's a brass plaque on that wall up there. And there's nobody going to take care of the interior but somebody from the interior.
Yeah. And the name on that brass plaque?
Goes back to John Butrevich John Binkley, Gary Wilkin, Bert Sharp, Pete Kelly. The list, there's more co-chairs of capital budget finance
from the interior.
From the interior than any other community in the state.
Yeah.
So.
You're with some incredible names there.
Yeah. It's very humbling.
Yeah.
You know, John Butrovich, one of the longest serving senators in state's history.
Yep.
Republican.
Yep.
Yep.
Fairbanks.
Fairbanks.
Name on a building up at the university.
Correct. Yep. So.
Insurance agent, insurance man from Fairbanks.
Yep.
Yeah, so, something else.
So, anyway. Well, thanks for having me on today.
Oh, no problem. We have about 2 minutes left. So, how's your beautiful, wonderful, incredible wife, Darlene, doing?
She's
listening, so I'm sucking up heavily.
Well, she's I want to thank her for letting me run again, and she has sacrificed so much for me, and she's the bedrock foundation of our family, and we all know it, and we take good care of her.
That's why I'm bringing her up. She's a very exceptional person, and this is what most people don't understand. You know, over the years, I've seen you happiest when you come in from mining in the summer. Mm-hmm. And you didn't get to go mining that much this summer. And you're out there with your grandkids mining. Mm-hmm. I mean, boy, let's get on this D8, kid.
Right. That's correct. And, just lastly on that, it's you just look around old Fairbanks and the people and places of, you know, of influence and, mm-hmm. and or, you know, they all came out of a mining camp.
Yeah.
You know, I asked then Mayor Dan Sullivan, he was before the committee for confirmation on the RCA board, and I said, well, do you know where Fairbanks Creek's at?
his whole family came from there.
His whole family came from there.
Yeah. I said, Driscoll's, Egan's, Sather's,
yep.
Sullivan's.
Yep.
And Stepovich's.
Stepovich's. So, yeah, it's we have a rich history here in the interior with mining.
That we do. So, where are you going to be sign-waving this afternoon?
This afternoon I'll be over at my same old spot, University and
Geist.
Geist, yep. Mm-hmm. We're there, been there every morning for 2.5 weeks now.
Well, it's your last second to the last day.
Second to the last day, because I'll be out there the day after, win, lose, or draw.
Who's going to be happier that this is over, you or Darlene?
I think we
tied.
Tied.
Yep. Senator, thank you so much for being on here. Honored to have you on. And Fairbanks, you have a great day, and I'll see you tomorrow with the Laundry House Gang. You have a great day.